Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to the light, so that his works might be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, we have perhaps the most famous line of scripture in our modern culture. You perhaps have seen at different sporting events people holding up poster board with John 3:16, or even athletes such as Tim Tebow who put it on their eye black. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." And it is with good reason that it is so famous and so well known, because it is the gospel in kernel, in its form, in its most basic but powerful form. God loves us. God loves the world. And so he gave us his only Son, so everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And we see in the lines before this exactly how Jesus will give of himself, how the Father offers his Son for our salvation. Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." This harkens back to the story in the Old Testament, in the Exodus. Whenever the people rebelled against the Lord, he sent among them seraph serpents, which bite them, and as a result of the bites and the poisonous wound, they die. And the people call out for mercy to our Lord, and God orders then Moses, on his behalf, to then mount a bronze serpent upon a pole. And whoever receives a bite of one of the serpents and then gazes upon the bronze serpent is healed. And this is what happens whenever, for us, whenever we look at what Jesus does for us, because when is he lifted up? He's lifted up upon the cross for our sakes. As Catherine of Siena put it, it was not nails, but love that held him there. Love for you. Love for me. Love for each and every human being. That ultimately he went to the cross. That he who bore all of our sins, the sins of all humanity, our sins, the sins of everyone who has ever lived, he nailed to the cross. By his death, he put sin to death. In the same way that by a serpent, then too, the people of Israelites are saved from their wounds. So we see in this God's love most prevalent. God's love is shown to us in the fact that he gave us his Son. He gave us his Son not just to teach us, yes, of course he did that, powerful and beautiful as it is. But most powerfully, he gave us his Son so we might have life through him. And so we see Jesus explain exactly how this is to be done and how he is going to do that. But then, after that famous line, that God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son so that we might have eternal life, he then also details that people will not always respond to this in a loving way. He says that those who believe in him will have eternal life, but those who do not believe will receive condemnation. But yet Jesus tells us that he did not come into the world for condemnation. So he prefaces this. And so it becomes very clear that the choice remains with us. Because ultimately salvation is simple. To believe in the only begotten Son of God. And belief doesn't simply mean a verbal assent. It doesn't mean simply a half-hearted wish. But it means a full turning over of our life, our will, our mind, to Him. All that we are, we seek to ultimately turn over to our loving God. And this is a lifelong process. It's a process of choosing. But we also must also recognize that the Lord gives us a choice on the other side, the other end of the spectrum, that we can choose against Him, that we can choose ultimately to go down the road to condemnation, or that H word that we don't like to hear, that hell is real. And this reality is not a reality of an unloving God, but instead is it a reality based upon our own choices. And I always like to think about it in this way. Whenever you're in a bad mood, what are the last kind of people you want to be around? Happy people. So why in the world would the Lord ever force someone's hand who doesn't want Him to be with Him for all of eternity? Even the reality of condemnation in its own way is proof of God's love, that He respects each and every one of our freedoms so much that we can even choose against Him for all of eternity. And I think this is important for us to remember, that reality, because it really brings home what's at stake. It's not simply just us showing up here because there's a reason why we came here, each and every one of us. It's because of our love of God. And so it's not just merely some sort of like half-hearted decision on our part, but instead God desires for us to choose Him. He freely offers Himself to us. Because again, as the deepest reality goes, God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. That's what the heart of this. Then the talk about condemnation is not one of despair. Yes, it's simple. Salvation is so simple, but it's not easy. To turn ourselves to the Lord, to allow ourselves to be exposed to His light, is not an easy thing. It's simple, but it's not easy. And so it's immensely important for us to recognize within our own lives the power that God has, that He wants to forgive our sins, but He cannot forgive our sins unless we bring them to Him. Unless we confess our sins, He cannot forgive. Again, it requires our freedom for us to actually access the graces, the forgiveness that Christ gives to us on the cross. And so it's for us to recognize that we are indeed loved. God loves you. You are unique, unrepeatable, and you can delight His heart in a way that no one else can. Each of us are a result of a thought of God, to repeat Pope Benedict's great line. Each of us have come from His love. Each of us are destined, requested by Him to return to His love. And so the Lord offers us grace upon grace, as St. Paul tells us. Our salvation is not something we earn. It's not something we can gain on our own power, but instead it is grace, and grace is a pure gift of God. And so let us today receive that grace with great gratitude, great praise, recognizing that God does indeed love each and every one of us, and that for us who believe in Him, we are pledged and promised eternal life.